And it's Thursday. I hope there's no problems with this going up, Justin. I really hope that this goes up on Thursday because I know there's been a few issues with getting them up, but I hope it just goes up straight away on Thursday, yeah?
Guess who's back? Back again. Back in Norwich, in Norfolk.
Yeah. Me. Is it you?
I'm so happy to be back. I've got a chairs. I've got chairs. I've got my bed. I can walk around. I haven't just got to lay in my bunk like I'm in prison after work and just get a bad back.
You did a private podcast for one of our listeners, didn't you?
I met one of our listeners. I was thinking about what a great, cool guy I am. Basically, I am. It's like Ronaldo offers to have a kick around with you, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know. So, Sam Goglin White.
Is that the first listener you've met?
Yeah. Probably the last.
Is it? He's done it, as he's put you off.
Yeah, I think it wasn't nothing personal against him. It just the whole experience was odd. And I just thought, oh, everyone's, you know, be cool, meet someone. And I just like, it was a bit weird. He was all right. Didn't mind him. Sam, you're all right. You did well. So anyway, he did started doing stand-up as a result of this podcast that you're listening to now, listener. And you're recording, Ash. This one. Our one. This one right now, yeah. And I'd say he's more influenced by me than you in that regard, possibly.
Oh, definitely. Because every bit of advice I've given him, he said, oh, Pank says the opposite. And then he goes and does it. It's normally like some sort of cancer joke.
Yeah, which he did, and got the biggest laugh of his set. And I'm not going to blow smoke. Right, we'll talk about the logistics and the nightmare hell of the actual gig.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, but he... Okay, so I'll get on to... All right, you're going to have to wait a bit longer for...
No, go on, go on.
No, the review of Sam will come when it comes. So I get to this bar, walk past it. You know, I always do a drive-by.
You do a recce.
Yeah, I walk past. I always do the
Charlotte
same thing.
Ramsey would say a recce, wouldn't she?
Just have a little recce. She'd say, just have a little peek-a-bobs. Have a peek-a-bob. I just looked, had a peek-a-bob at the venue, walked past. And there was like this...
Lion's Den Comedy Club.
Lion's Den Comedy Club. Now in Bar Rumba, not at King's Cross anymore. Bar Rumba on Shaftesbury Avenue. Walked past, and there was like this metal little holding pen out the front, which I guess was like a smoking area.
Smoking zone.
Like three-sided, but not perspex. You couldn't see through it. It was just like solid metal.
Ooh,
and I walked past, and it was like a crate of psychos. And I was like, oh, that's all the acts. All the open micers. Yeah, I didn't see him to start. So I walked by, and I looked in there, and I was like, oh. I looked around, and I was like, Christ.
How big is it?
The little smoking pen.
Yeah, were you talking about you looked in the smoking pen? Or you
I just walked past it. It's like a metal. There were people that stood in a metal box on the street.
Mm.
And I looked and I was like, oh, it's like, obviously I haven't done an open mic. And it made me think, I didn't really do many.
No.
Yeah, but that wasn't like that. I guess it was, wasn't it? The thing about London is there's no investment.
No.
Like someone that is going to get in their car. I mean, there's a few people that will get in their car and drive to Cambridge, or the amount of people in Cambridge doing comedy is obviously much less than London. But an open mic in London, someone just does it on the way home from work. There's no sort
Yeah,
of
that's true. Yeah.
They're just asked.
Well, occasionally you do one of that. Like, again, I only did a few in London, really not many. But you'd have people in suits.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying there was no sort of like I said, they didn't really have to invest anything into it. It isn't like, I would drive to London to do open mics in the very beginning.
Yeah.
But I don't remember doing one of those walk in and sign up. Even Jason, I didn't sign up at Bad Cat.
No, well, Bad Cat, they occasionally do the one where everyone's name went in a hat. But that's
I think
it.
I ever did that. The first gig I ever did.
With you, Jason. I did them with you.
Yeah, but I don't think I was in the hat.
No, but no, that was the trick, wasn't it? Me and you didn't go in the hat.
Oh, well, you
did.
Can't,
you? Are you not aware
of
the conceit?
No, I was waiting for my name to come out every time. Was it not in there?
It used to
be there.
Were you not confused by the fact that me and you always either close the first half or the show?
No, I kind of remember now you say it, but the point is, I didn't actually do an open mic then, is it?
We'd just say, we'll come along and do it.
I mean, people are just literally Muppets off the street, mate. Just walk in.
Okay. No, yeah,
so,
I never
know,
read
like
that.
Jason knew I was coming and goes,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Agreed, yeah.
So I never, fucking hell, everything's a struggle with you, isn't it, Mr. Contrarian?
Not very well.
I'm not well either. I've been breathing in toxic paint fumes.
Oh, that's good.
And I think I'm going to die. I keep getting lightheaded. So anyway, we get there and I look at all these psychos. I'm like, oh, Christ. And obviously the personnel's changed because I haven't done an open mic. I didn't do many. I probably did one. I think I did one or two.
Did you pretend to be new?
No. I didn't pretend to do anything. I walked past. I'm not a pretender, mate. I walked past. And I looked in there and thought, well, obviously they're all new people, but they're also the same people. Like, the last time I was at an open mic, the personnel's changed, but the characters are the same.
No, exactly, yeah.
And so then I crossed the road, and I'd walk past the pub. I thought, I'll go in there, grab a coffee, and I'll message him, because I was quite early. And I was going to say, oh, I'm in the pub across the road on the corner. But I looked back, and he'd come out of the smoking pen, and he's like, waving at me across the road. He goes, it's here. And I was like, I didn't say it. I was like, yeah, I know it's there, but I just walked past to make sure I knew where it was, and then I was going to go to the pub. And then he goes, oh, I managed to sign you up. I bigged you up.
You do need that.
Well, it's not that I don't need it, and this is not me being arrogant, but this is what you need to learn, Sam. A, I don't give a fuck, and B, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, they do not care about the quality of the show. They have said to Bar Rumba, if you let us have a free room on a Tuesday night in central London, we can guarantee 20 people in here, and it's just acts. That's all. That's how that works. And, you know, they say it's £5 for audience. They might get the odd tourist. But there was no one in there that wasn't an act.
Oof. And that's everyone what pay it is. £5?
No, you don't pay £5, but you get it for free. So anyway, they start going, this woman that ran it, what a fucking bell piece she was. She was like a little Antipodean. It was like grot bags hung out of the skate park. Like a little old woman with like a flat bill baseball cap and a wallet chain. A shirt had flames on it. And I walked past and she was going like, yeah, I used to go out for a taxi driver and this ass riding around in the back of a taxi for 22 years and the things I've seen. And that's just I walked past.
Why was she riding around in the back of the taxi?
I didn't catch the gist. But she was a ghastly woman, Ash.
But
in
you
my
shouldn't
mind.
Be in the back of the taxi. Like, he's got to pick people up in that cab.
I know. Maybe she was the taxi driver. When I sort of just walked past, it was sort of interesting, but it also, I wanted to know, but didn't want to know.
Yeah.
Apparently, Sam said that she was giving a bit of a hard time or, like, laying the law down. You've got to stay to the end. It's been fucking 13 years. And that one's never not stayed to the end. And I said, well, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
Because that's kidnap. I said to him, that's kidnap. You can't stop people leaving.
Yeah, but you just won't get booked there again if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, well, I've never been booked there ever. So I never
did. No, I wasn't talking about you.
I don't think you should be doing gigs like that anyway. But so anyway, I get there. This bloke goes, I need your driving license.
That's fair, because you look 17.
No, he did it to everyone. He scanned it in and it came up on this screen like they'd logged a photo of you. Like your photo come up on like a screen. Like, and he goes, it's a nightclub, we've got to do this. And I felt like going, that's funny, mate. I've done weekend gigs and no one's ever done this. And then he frisked me.
Yeah.
I got to frisk you down. It's a nightclub, I've got to do this. It's like, again, I'm not a nightclubber, but this, you don't have to do this. I don't think you do. Anyway, go in there. We're served by, and I'm not exaggerating, the rudest bar woman of all time.
Why? What?
I was about to say, like, if you got... I might have a water if you're still or sparkling. She went, she's looked at me and I raised one eyebrow and I went, water? And she just like turned her back, just poured water in the cup out of one of those little hose things that the Coke comes out of.
Ugh.
Warm piss water straight out of the fucking system.
Because she wants people to be spending money in there.
Well, she's a bar staff. I don't think she owned the joint, but
she hates
the open mic nights.
The amount of cancer rape jokes she has to watch on every single like Tuesday night, whatever it is. Yeah. She hates comedy.
But she might like that. You don't know.
She doesn't. She hates it.
What does she look like then?
She's got black hair. And
oh,
ponytail.
No, we're talking about someone different. So that goes ahead. And the first guy that got up...
Goes ahead.
Yeah, I think you sort of sitting there.
That's a low, low thing. Oh,
and I sat with Sam, and there was all the other acts were in like one booth. And I was with Sam. And I said, this is so different. Like, and he was going, how do you mean? I go, these all like chirping in, trying to impress each other, all like animated.
Were you on the bill at this point? You know
what's
going
on. Yeah, I was in the hat. Oh, sorry, yeah. So Sam had to go, yeah, he's coming, he's really good. He would get him in the hat. So she put me in the hat. And he goes, she underlined your name. So I think she's probably going to put me on. And he goes, he said to me in the messages, he goes, you do 5 minutes, but you can do longer. And I think we spoke, how the fuck would that work?
Yeah, it's like you do five, but if it's going really well, you can do a bit longer.
Well, let's just put it this way. I don't think there was much chance of anyone doing longer. Let's just, can we say that?
Yeah, tell me about
first, right, first guy got up. He had these sort of like arty little green Perspex square sunglasses. It looked a bit like swimming goggles, but something Andy Warhol might have worn.
Yeah.
And he had sort of like dead straight cut blonde hair, dyed blonde, bit like Kurt Cobain, but not. Mm. And he got up and just danced without saying anything. It was his first ever time, and he was on first for about a minute.
The people just dancing.
It was, this is where he went wrong, was it was about to get funny in a surreal way, and he stopped and started doing his act. It was like the complete, couldn't have been a worse length of time he did it for.
I think what I dislike about that the most is, like, where's the paying homage to the nerves or the fear?
Well, like, I think it was, yeah, no, he had no nerves or fear. He was mental.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you should treat it with the reverie it deserves.
This is what I was probably trying to say earlier. It's like, for people like us that wanted to do it and went out of our way to do it and look and get better at it, he was just someone just thought, I'll just do that for a goof. There was no, like I say, he didn't travel, he didn't pay to get in. What's stopping him?
So he just danced. What kind of dance?
Had his hands out, palms down, and was kind of doing, like, almost like flapping his wings. But like he was sort of walking like Mr. Soft from the Mentos
advert. I've got it.
Yeah, but he's sort of like fluctuating. I'm doing it. His elbows and hands were sort of like, what, you know, like elbow up, hand up. Like.
And he did that for like a minute.
Yeah, and it was about to be funny and then he stopped. But if he'd have done it for like 10 seconds, you think, well, that was only 10 seconds. I'm not invested. I don't care that he did that. If he did it for 2.5 minutes, it would have been funny.
Yeah.
He did it for the exact wrong length of time for it to be both annoying and not no payoff.
Mm.
And then he went into his set and you sort of thought, bring back the dancing. It was just, he actually said, you know, he got a bit racist.
Oh, lovely.
he said a joke about, he had a Korean girlfriend and it was about eating pets sort of thing. Not exactly, but yeah, that stereotype, that was the pivot on which the joke was hinged. And then a woman went up after him. And
a woman?
I know. I said to Sam, again, this is the difference with a pro night. You wouldn't get this happening. And the first word out of her mouth was the R word.
Really?
And really yeah, and I went, oh. And Sam looked at me like he couldn't believe I was shocked. But
because
it's not like I'm shocked by the word. It's just, oh, that's...
We don't use that word.
We don't use it on stage. We won't get booked off stage. But I'm just saying, she was posh. So she tried to get the mic out of the clip, and as she pulled the mic up, the whole mic extended and the mic stand got taller. And she went, oh, sorry, I'm clearly an R word. That was her before she even started.
Right, so there's something that no one tells you, actually, and I never had an issue with it other than when that act tried to screw me over. It isn't necessarily that straightforward to get the mic on and off the mic stand. Like I say, I've never actually had a trouble, but I've seen so many people have problems with the mic in the mic stand. Like, is that something that people should be aware of before?
Well, it's not on the list of priorities, is it?
No, yeah, but that's true. But I have seen acts struggle getting the mic in and out of the mic stand.
That's what I'm saying. You don't think about it. Like, you're thinking, oh, I've got to remember this, I've got to try and be funny. You're not thinking about the logistics of getting the mic out, but yeah.
Because there are other different types. There's the
first I think I remember once I caught myself, my hand was down by my waist with the microphone in it. I'd just forgotten I had to hold it to my mouth.
Yeah, I remember you saying that the other day.
Yeah, and that was like, oh, shit, that's got to go up here. And then for my second gig, I touched the mic to my chin. And
never stopped.
I still do it. And if the sound's loud and booming and shit, I sort of think, well, that's their fault. But they should sort that out.
I love that one day you just absent-mindedly let the mic drop. You forgot.
Not one day, my first ever gig.
Just forgot that, you know. Have you got video of your first gig?
Absolutely no. I actually, when I had all my shit chucked out of my ex-family home, I found some DVDs that have got like my first gigs on. And I watched one and just felt sad at how jacked I was, and I'm not now.
Send it over.
All right, mate. Yeah, I'll do that.
Well, let's have a look at them. Let's compile
them. Yeah, let's
them
do that. I'll tell you what else I'll do.
Patrons would love that.
Why don't I put my dick in the fridge so it gets absolutely tiny, and then I'll send the picture of that as well and show everyone that. Just completely open myself up for a fucking drubbing, shall I?
Come on.
No, you come on.
Why don't you edit down the ones, take out the racist stuff and the cancer jokes and all the rape stuff, and then just send over the bits and pieces, a couple of minutes that's left, and we'll put them up for the patrons.
So this girl, anyway, she said the R word, and then she started doing her...
That didn't affect anything, she
didn't,
said.
No ripple in the room. No ripple, no frisson of... ooh, nothing. And then I noticed that she sort of started... I'm not going to say well, but it got worse. And she was just, she had her eyes closed and was just going blah, 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 with her eyes closed. Not saying blah, blah. She was saying her material. But she had her eyes closed.
Her eyes closed, trying to remember or trying
to
get through it?
No, she just freaked out. And she after about a minute and a half, the eyes went closed.
I'd love to have been there now I think about it.
It was fun. I'm going to do it I think I might do it every year. Go to one of those.
Yeah.
Just to go and just sit there and...
Well, this is the problem because, like, Ross McGrain runs a night in Southend, but it's a new material night that now is really good. I want to go and see those people.
No, you've got to get one of these car crash ones, mate. You've got to go. And I'm not being disparaging and condescending. I hope it's not that because I've done them.
Yeah.
And it's more about just...
But this is the thing. It's the, you know, some people play Sunday League and some people play National League football. Some people play Premier League football. You have to... But everyone starts at Sunday League. It's just
that's true. Yeah, well, even this is jumpers in the... Fucking for goalposts.
Yeah,
mate.
But that's true, isn't it? You know what I mean? There are.
Yeah, no, everyone... it is, of course, but I just don't want people to think that I'm being snooty. It's not that at all. It was just interesting to see.
Yeah. Well, like... she's closing her eyes and.
Yeah, closing her eyes and the first guy's dancing.
Is there any way of turning it round from that? Or, like, because I honestly think that you have to have an innate ability. I really do think that. I think there has to be something in you that means you're going to be any good. I don't think you can start from there. And then...
Oh, no. There was no gems in the... There was no uncut diamonds, whatever you call it.
Although saying that doesn't mean they won't be on TV in a couple of years.
No, it doesn't. And then he went up next. Anyway, Sam, I think Sam might have gone up next. And he did definitely the best. I saw 10 acts.
Yeah.
Disclaimer. I left in... There was 20 on.
Fuck.
I was one of them. But I obviously didn't go up in the first 10 and then left and did have an interval.
Yeah.
But... there was a...
Did Sam stay?
No, he came with me when he got some wings.
Of course he did.
So we went... there's a wing place down the corner. That was all right. Not great.
I don't care about the wing place. Let's talk about Samuel.
Yeah, so he did well. He did definitely better. Got consistent laughs, better than all of the other people.
Well, he does know what comedy is, doesn't he? You know what I mean?
To this. I mean,
I've seen him. He sent me a few of his sets and they have improved. And he does have an understanding of what comedy is. So that already sets him up a couple of steps from the people who have got their eyes closed.
Yeah. Although he has got some bad habits. And I'm going to just say it on here. He won't mind, will he?
No, fuck it.
When he sent me a video, between jokes, he'd pull the mic away from his mouth and then put it back again. Like, I'm going to say this. And he didn't do that on Tuesday, but at one point he looked over his shoulder to the back of the stage with his head. Like he turned his head back.
What, mid after punchline?
Like went da 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 da. And then sort of looked, turned his back, then back again. Like he resets after every joke.
I wonder what I've got or had that were those tells.
I'll tell you what I've never seen you do is lean or play with the mic stand. You maybe have, but I can't remember seeing you do that. I've noticed I'm doing that a lot now. I'm like Bernard fucking Manning. I've always got my elbow on the mic stand. And I'll touch it and I'll be talking and I'll put my hand back by my side. And then I'll reach out and touch it like six times in one bit. I was thinking of doing this thing. I might do this thing where it's like there's a comedian on stage. And then there's like him behind a desk with an earpiece in, feeding information to the comedians about the things you're thinking. So there's a comedian looking at monitors.
We discussed this as a thing that sounds very similar to something we talked about for a potential night.
Yeah, no. But no, the comedian's commenting on himself. Going, don't do that bit about the woman because that woman over there looks like she's got a funny little hand. You can't do that bit. Do you know what I mean? Like all the things we think. But it's like the comedian's own inner thoughts, but it's like a pundit on a desk with
Right, because we had no
idea. We wanted to do like a surveillance van of comedians, professional comedians, watching one of these nights and going, look what he's done here, look, fuck me.
And make that a podcast or a YouTube.
Yeah, and really slate people.
But I think the people would have to be in on it. But don't they sort of do what you're saying there at some gong shows?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, a bit like Kill Tony.
And also at like the Urban Nights, I'm going to call it. Don't they really like? Because I think Matt Adlington got booked for an Urban Night recently, and he was the only white guy in the venue. And apparently, he said that I can't remember the whole story, but I think they were basically commentating over the top of everything he's saying.
Well, it's a bit like there's that bit like Def Jam where the DJ would drop in, drops between. I hate all that. So that was the worst thing about that Chappelle show.
Just doing DJ drops.
Just a DJ set before we came on. Going, yeah. Like I said, white people like, just looking awkward. It was fucking terrible. Like, had to be forced to put your hands in the air, and I didn't.
So you nipped out anyway in the break, did you?
Yeah. But anyway, so Darius came down and met us.
Darius came down and met you?
And he...
Did he meet you in the club?
Yeah, he came to the club.
Did he watch some of the acts?
He watched some of the acts. He didn't just watch. He got involved. It's so funny.
He got involved? What do you mean?
He started heckling. Of course he did. Darius, it was so funny.
He can't help himself. What did he say?
I was pissing myself. Because he used to go to Lion's Den a lot. One of our friends actually founded it.
Really?
Yeah, you know Ty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was one of the founders of it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was how he started in the game. And so Darius knew all the old tropes and things. There used to be a bloke, he's dead now, called Sweet Steve. It was like really bad.
He used to go down there all the time.
Yeah, he used to go up all the time. And everyone would go, Sweet Steve, Sweet Steve, Sweet Steve. A bit like that, just say it all the time. So Darius started saying that. Well, the other thing he said was like, they used to go, is it your first time? Is this next person's first time? And everyone would go, first time, like that.
Oh, God.
So this.
Has it lost all that then? It's done by different people?
Yes, I don't. Yeah, I guess. I think one died. I think the other guy that founded it died. I might be wrong about that. But anyway, everyone dies. Sweet Steve's dead. But Sedarius started going, first time! And this act was on. He was doing 10 minutes closing the first section. And he was like,
10?
Yeah, he was like the close of the first section.
First time doing 10?
No, it wasn't. Darius just started shouting it. He thought everyone would go like, oh yeah, do you remember we used to do that?
Like, and no one does that and hasn't done like, it for 10 years.
What? And he went, that's bad. Really? And then he went, what was that? He didn't say nothing and it was in the dark. And then he goes, did someone just say something? And the guy in front of Darius like went, yeah, there's this guy right behind me here did.
Oh,
I thought, wait, you fucking get back in your box. You little grass. You didn't do that. But Darius knew him. And then afterwards, and this bloke completely unraveled, died as a result.
But what? So what was the exchange? Did Darius say, I said first time?
He talked to him afterwards. And he went, first time, Sweet Steve. And he went, oh my God, that was you. Like, this bloke lost it and couldn't get it back.
Oh my God.
And Sam was like, oh, that made me really uncomfortable. I was like, oh, I didn't, mate. That was funny. That was the best bit of the whole night. That was definitely the best bit.
It would have made me uncomfortable.
But Sam, you did well. Sam Yule, you can tell that he's obviously come to the game via some high quality content. Because he
definitely
got a good base there, my man. But
did he have a beard or a moustache?
Yeah, like a little beard. I'd say a little beard with a little moustache.
Oh, good for Samuel and his little moustache.
Yeah. So,
and you went and got wings. Did Darius come and get rings?
Darius came and got wings. Darius
He's met the crew, hasn't he?
He's met the cream, mate.
All right.
Well, you could have been there.
I could.
Oh, no, you couldn't.
Oh, no, I couldn't have. No. Just realised.
No, you'd be down to break the law, dear.
No, I couldn't have. I was very poorly after we last recorded.
Yeah, you've had
did I not have it? I didn't.
Yeah, you had it. Well, everyone knows you got it.
Yeah, but then I got like really
worse.
I feel sick all the time.
Mm.
I mean, no one.
I think you need to
that.
Eat some animals.
Yeah, I'm gonna give up on my vegan and vegetarianism.
I do think that you're not doing yourself any favours there, son.
Son.
Go, son.
I used to play football with this bloke that if the referee or anyone called him son, he would like absolutely flip. Like he would be a liability.
Well, exactly, didn't know his dad was or something.
He'd be only my dad can call me son. Only my dad can call me son. Like he'd properly go.
That's a weird thing to get angry about.
Well, but I'm talking about like he's ready to fight.
Yeah,
and a referee once. He was a fireman this.
Especially because that is, I'd say that's a in the footballing vernacular.
Oh yeah. So once we're playing, and then son. This happened, and he said that to the ref. Only my dad could call me son. Don't call me son. And the referee went, oh, calm down, son. It's all
right. Yeah.
He's like squaring up to the referee.
Lad.
Chill out, mate. It always like, imagine
lad being... is sort of northern for son, isn't it?
Imagine being that ready to fight for no reason.
Yeah. What happened? Words why that did used you to trigger
punch
me,
the ref but... and get banned for life? Oh, he called me son?
Yeah. Yeah, Sonny Jim.
Sonny Jim, my lad.
Sonny Jim's, what? Well, I don't know what that is. Oh, look at the poorly hacking coffee.
Yeah, well, you know.
So I've been thinking about some things.
Oh, yes, please.
I've been on a... Oh, let's start at the beginning.
Been on a date?
No, on a train.
Oh.
I got a train yesterday. What? Which sound... I mean,
this was a long train as well. Like, you phoned me...
carriages.
You said to me, I'm getting a train from London to Felixstowe.
Yeah, in the end, I went to Norwich.
But how does that work? Did you get a ticket?
Yeah, I'll tell you how it works. You get fucking stung. It was 16 quid from London to Felixstowe to change Ipswich. And I was on it. And so the train goes to Norwich. And I was looking. I was thinking, I've actually got loads of time to get home, have a shower, unpack, put all my stuff in the house, basically, and then drive to Felixstowe. Yeah. I'll just do that.
So could you...
The ticket woman come around with a little thing. Tickets. I said, I'm thinking about getting off at either Ipswich or Norwich. If I wanted to get off at Norwich, what do I do? She goes, oh, you got to buy a ticket from Ipswich to Norwich, which is basically three stops. I think it goes Ipswich, Stowmarket, Dis, Norwich. Two stops. Okay. No, I don't know how it works. I'm not a train guy. Yeah, so I go, all right. She goes, oh, £17.50.
Fuck off.
Yes, I paid it anyway.
Yeah, 30 quid.
I was desperate to get home. I was going to have a shower in the promoter's house, which is all well and good. And he said I could.
But which promoter was it?
Doesn't matter.
It does, if you're having a shower in their house.
No, he lives in Felixstowe, sorry, not Lowestoft. It's Felixstowe.
You said Felixstowe, I think.
Oh, okay. It was Louis, and I was very kind of him, but I was like, I haven't got a towel. I've got to go around there and say, can I have a towel or buy a towel?
I'm not using one of Louis' towels.
It's not that I don't want to use his towel. His towel rubbed up my ass crack.
He would. I'd love that.
That's the weird thing about a towel. You're basically rubbing yourself out. What do you say?
I said that's the weird thing about Louis.
No, the weird thing about towels is like people borrow them and it's like you've got to wash them like 90 degrees because they've had all like cock and balls and arse up them.
Yeah.
That like I said, anywhere in someone's house, you're nervous. You're showering at someone's house. You don't know everything is. You know what I mean?
You don't know where your cock and balls are.
Well, you know, you might not pay, you know, might not, you know, give your
you might not
anal
fully clean.
Yeah, you want to give your anal cavity the due diligence it deserves.
Are we talking spotting?
I'm just saying you might get in the shower and be like, oh, God, I hope no one's going to walk in. Or, I don't want to do a big shit in the shower and block it up with a massive shit. And you're panicking, you know, you're nervous. It's too much pressure, you know what I mean?
Something you've talked about with showers has stayed with me. And I think about it almost every time I have a shower. About when you were talking about not wiping your ass after you do a shit before you have a shower. And it being like fish food.
Yeah.
And I don't know that reference, but I think about it. Every time I shower,
it sort of does. It comes out all flaky. It's not what you think. It's not what you expected.
Yeah, I do think it's pointless wiping your ass before you shower.
Have you ever done the opposite when you've just had a nice shower and you dry and you're like, oh, I need a shit. And I get so angry with myself.
Yeah, it's so horrible. Yeah,
I start hitting myself with a flip flop.
The holiday shit is horrible, isn't it? You know, when you get it, you're like, you're at the pool. I know you don't go on holiday, but you buy the pool and you're all wet and then you go, oh, I've got to go back to the room for a shit, and then you go back and you're wet.
Yeah, sit in the toilet seat when you have you. I've got. Have you got out of the shower to have to? And you sit and it's like it's so, the most. It seems like the most dangerous.
Because you could slide down the hole.
I know. It's like it's all like you're slipping about, and I've always had this fear of my nuts getting under the toilet seat and then sliding to the side and being a
taking them off.
Yeah, taking them right off. Yeah. I'll be a fucking castrato. How do you do that? The toilet seat was loose. I never did anything about it.
Oh,
and then I sat on there when I got out of the shower. It's a long story.
You ever sat on a broken toilet seat and had the pinch?
Yeah, I've had that. Have you ever done the thing where you pissed through the gap into your trousers?
I mean, I've got that as my opening bit of stand-up at the moment. So,
oh, yeah. No, you haven't. No, okay. Well, let's burn that on here.
Let's burn it on there. So yeah, I have got that. I did it and I pissed onto my phone as well within the last...
Yeah, I've done it when I haven't noticed, and you pull your trousers up and it's wet. And it's just, yeah, and it's like a little damp reverse tea bag. I don't know what it is.
Oh, God.
So anyway, people on the train are weird. I found that there was like people on there that were probably quite happy, probably quite high up in their jobs. A couple, a boy and a girl, old school couple.
Traveling from London
back to Essex. I think we came quite past near some of your areas, like Manningtree and places like that.
Yeah, miles away, but yeah, you would have done. You know, Manningtree's. Oh no, this isn't. This is from Alan Partridge. He walks from Norwich to Dungeness, and he says Manningtree is the middle point. Sorry.
So this couple were on there, and they probably had like quite good jobs. And the next job with their laptops, and they're going like, "Yeah, well, that should work, isn't it? Because you know, if Paul comes in and does communicate with accounts, then accounts obviously can get onto Creative, and we can." And I wanted to die. I felt so bad, and I thought they're probably on like 40, 50 grand each. Got a nice house.
I think if I'm on the train, I think I'm gonna give it a rest, mate.
And they were like, and she was like, "Oh, can you plug it?" Not to me. She was like, "There's a bloke opposite the table." And she's like, "Oh, would you mind if I plugged in my laptop into your plug?" It's like, "Oh yeah, of course. Would you mind doing it?" And she passed it under the table. "Oh, you have to put it upside down. For some reason, I'm trained to plug it upside down," or something like that. It doesn't look like it's upside down, but I don't know why I'm doing this for. She didn't say that at all.
I like that she.
Is that it all right? Is that plugging my laptop?
So she's. I just think, give it a break.
And then we went through Essex, and some slags got on, sat opposite me. And over the tannoy, the thing said, "If you see anything that looks wrong, please report it to a member."
You report
I said her eyebrows. That was a bit of a joke I was trying to think of on the train. Because they kept saying it all the time. And I thought it was phrased badly. It wasn't like suspicious. It says, "If you see anything that looks wrong, please report it to a member of staff." Like, what does that mean?
Yeah. Very ambiguous.
Yeah, it should be like, basically, anyone who looks like they might have a bomb in the... What does that mean? What is it? I don't know what they were getting at. Tell me.
How many trains have been bombed?
My God, are you joking?
Yeah, some.
I was going to hijack the train and drive it into Canary Wharf.
What would have happened if you did that?
I'd just quickly build a new rail to Canary. I don't know how that would work.
You just go through the stage. Like, that's the problem with trains.
Yeah, you can't go off. They're on rails, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very, very little deviation in the route. You can't go another way if there's a traffic jam, can you?
No.
You know, I'm surprised they ever get anywhere on time.
What about that one in, Croydon that turned over and killed people? That was weird, wasn't it?
That was a roller coaster, wasn't it?
Oh, was it?
Yeah, they do. I don't think trains turn over, mate. You think it's a corkscrew.
There's one in, Croydon.
What about that woman's leg fell off at Alton Towers or whatever it was?
Her leg fell off, or the ones where they crashed into the back of the other carriage and people lost their legs. That was bad.
Was it?
But I think so, yeah. But it's because you have children.
If you think about it,
it was good for business.
No. The whole premise of the roller coaster, of the bungee jumping, is your brain thinks you're about to come to serious harm or die, but you don't.
Yeah.
So you bungee jump and your brain, your body, every fiber of your being, your evolution, all your, prehistoric programming just thinks I'm perilously hurtling to my doom.
Yeah.
But you don't die.
No.
Really? So if you're on a roller, that's a bit like having a wank and edging. isn't it? It's like
every now and again you need a roller coaster to.
Yes, but at least your body got the payoff it was expecting. So all of that sort of. All of those instincts weren't wasted on that one time it actually worked properly. That's the one time a roller coaster has actually succeeded.
It probably heightens everyone's use of a roller coaster because nine times out of ten, you're like...
Yeah, I reckon it might just be more horseshit from the big roller coaster companies.
Yeah, the big Alton Towers.
Yeah, I was thinking of the equivalent of Big Pharma, but I couldn't think
of
it.
Yeah, I couldn't either. I did the same.
Big Leisure.
So now it would cross your mind if you went on a roller coaster that you might...
That was always the thrill of the travelling fair, wasn't it?
Oh my God, yeah.
Remember those cages? You had to push them around yourself by rocking them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always good. I always thought with them that they were probably screwed on.
Yeah, it was a shopping trolley.
Yeah, and you're basically unscrewing it as you turn round and round.
It was like two shopping trolleys, one together on one of those old oil drilling things from Texas that goes like an arm, wasn't it?
There was always a story as well that the ghost train just had two of the
ghosts,
carnies having sex or something as you went past. Carnies all right?
Yeah, I don't give a shit. You probably have to research that before you put that out. But and there was always the rumor that old Paul Jenkins can do a 360 in the cages on his own, like he can get it all the way round. If anyone don't know what I'm talking about, they were these cages that you got in, basically like a swing, but you had to rock them and you could get them to go all the way round.
Yeah, you shouldn't though.
Well, I just think if you're paying money, they should have a little motor that did that for you. It's a bit like
They were a death trap, weren't they?
No one ever died.
But yeah, have you seen the videos of them where a load of people had to jump on the things? It was about to turn over.
No, I don't watch those things. I remember my ex-wife's dad hated, he had a real phobia of her getting hurt on
in a relationship.
Yeah, he wouldn't. Yeah. That's a roller coaster in of itself. That he wouldn't want to go to any theme park. So he used to, like, you know, they say, like, oh, if you think your child's on drugs, you start leaving, like, leaflets around, like, the dangers. He used to leave clippings of people that had their legs smashed off at Alton Towers and stuff. Honestly.
That was good of him.
That's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's quite funny. That's something you'd do.
Try and scare your children. That's the best. That's not what I'd do.
Well, I've got a bit at the moment I'm working on that's very contentious about... I do feel a bit shameful and a bit like Peter Kay, but about how the government used to do that with the fireworks adverts, how terrifying they were.
Yeah.
And I didn't, by the time fireworks came around, I didn't want to watch the fireworks because I just thought I was going to lose my eye or something.
I hate fireworks anyway, so I'm all...
Yeah, I do too.
But yeah, I mean, we were quite feral as kids, so I did do stuff like, you know, they were changing. I don't know if you know, this is a weird thing to remember, but on electricity pylons they have like ceramic bowls.
Yes, they do, yeah.
And
they look like discuses.
There was a new delivery of them. They're obviously changing them on the pylons next to the field where I live. There was that massive open field and we just went there and smashed a load of them.
Yeah,
but we were playing at the bottom of the pylon.
Yeah, like,
we would just have done that. I'm sure we climbed a bit of the pylon as well.
There's a fucking mad big electric substation on that side of that road when I drive to Southend from here. It's like you go over. It's fucking the biggest one I've ever seen. It's like,
Then
you go over a little bridge. I think it might be where there's like a bit of dual carriage when it goes up to that really bad, some farm roundabout it's called. It's always snagged up.
Yeah. Sadler's Farm.
Sadler's, this is a good podcast, isn't it? It's just two old men talking about roads.
Yeah, that I don't know what that place is, but it's massive.
Yeah, it's just like, I've never seen anything like it. It's like ugly as fuck as well. I think grow some trees around it or something.
Yeah, that's true. But that's weird because next to that is like a brick, you see the training for them climbing stuff. Like they've got these great big poles for the people to climb up.
Have they?
So yeah, that's but there you will also often see helicopters because they check those pylons thermally to make sure they're okay with a helicopter. So a helicopter will fly up to it and be scanning it to check for heat or whatever. And I think that must be some sort of training place as well, because you will often see a helicopter there doing that as you drive along.
Mm.
But yeah, you'll often see men climbing up on those they've on the little training thing.
What sort of figure of speech is that? Do you mean I'll often see? I've never seen it once.
You'll often see.
That's
you'll,
weird. But you'll, think about what you're actually saying. That's a bit odd, isn't it?
You'll, the collective humanity.
You'll often see. It's like, what did you say? There's often blokes climbing up there.
Yeah, there's often, I often see blokes climbing
up. Yeah, come on, let's get. Hey, I was thinking about, you know, I'm a little wordler. Don't you? That's how I describe myself. I like thinking about
you've
words.
You've been playing Wordle, yeah.
No, I didn't. Oh, sorry, no, I have, but not that. I mean, I'm into words. I always think about words.
Yeah. You're a wordsmith.
I've realised that, you know, I like it when I have a revelation that I've always thought something, but it's actually the polar opposite. The word material.
As in comedy material?
No, clothes. I thought it meant that, but it doesn't, does it? It's just material. It's actually fabric. But I thought material was like what you make clothes out of. That's, fabric was called material, was the word. So when I thought, like, I always thought it's weird that everyone uses the word material to refer to, like, comedy. Like, I need some new material.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right, yeah.
Yeah, but it's the other way around. Fabric is the material that the tailor uses.
Yeah.
But
that's,
I thought,
right,
that was called material.
Jokes are the material of the comedian. Fabric is the material.
I thought it was. I was like, why don't we just call it material? And I was thinking of, like, tartan or something in my head.
Well, though, saying that, I mean, it's probably wrong, but if you said, oh, what's it made of? Wood or material? You'd know what I was talking about.
I would, but wood is material. But the word material has come to be sort of like a synonym for fabric, and that's incorrect.
Is it?
Yeah, because you say that.
I do see what you're saying, but I do wonder whether it.
Well, what's a builder use?
Material. Building
materials. Yeah, like, be like fucking bricks material, cements materials, timbers material.
Yeah.
Our jokes are material. Fabric is a tailor's material, but I thought material meant material. Yeah. I thought material meant fabric.
Yeah, I wonder if it does now.
It does. I've done. No. Well, it can't do because I've just thought it. And I admit that would render my whole thought process obsolete.
Yeah, no, we can't have that. I mean.
No, we can't have that. We can't have that zinger wasted. But yeah, it's weird. I just remember. I don't know why I thought of it. I think it's.
Although it is a question.
Go on, yeah.
If you're fixing something in a building.
Mm-hmm.
You could be seen to be fixing the fabric of the building.
Yeah, again, that's fabric being used. But actual
cloth... Fabric being used for material.
Actual cloth... Oh, yeah. Cloth. I guess it's cloth, isn't it? Is it fabric or cloth? Cloth is fabric. And what's the difference between fabric and a cloth?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I always got confused.
Oh, another can of worms here.
People used to say they were in the cloth trade. The rag trade.
You cut your cloth and
the rag trade.
Never
have
mind
you heard of that.
Never mind that. Yeah, never mind the length field of material. It means fabric. But once you start thinking of a tailor using the word material like a builder uses it, it changes everything. Actually,
yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and I don't know. I don't know how I thought of that or why I even thought anyone would want to hear me say it. But there we are.
That's what this is about, mate. If you didn't have these outlets, you'd be sitting at home screaming at them.
More of a little factoid, really. So when I was on the train, I was meeting my girlfriend at the station. Here's a little fun thing.
I can't believe you had to pay an extra 17 quid. I wonder what it would have been.
It was more than 100% of the fare that was like 75% of the way there.
What would have happened if you'd have just sat on the train?
I was going to do that because you have to scan out at the station now, don't you? Like a tube.
Yeah.
I thought, what if I just tell them I'm asleep? They'd probably go, oh, you've got to get back on the next train.
Yeah, probably.
To Ipswich. I'd be like, well, you can't keep me here, man. I need a cigarette. That's what I'd say. I don't smoke. But I go, I need a cigarette. And then I guess they've got to let you outside, haven't they?
I don't know.
Because cigarettes are sort of... Isn't it weird? I work with people that smoke that. And it's like, they think it's like a medical right.
Yeah. I always used to be so annoyed when people could take a cigarette break.
I've got to have a fag. It's like, you've got to do anything. It's not like you're working in
banking and you sat there for 9 hours straight, just like desperately trying to get the work done so I could go home at somewhere like daylight.
But they talk about like they're about to go and inject insulin. Like you feel like you need one because you're weak. You don't need anything.
God, I can't believe how shit a job I used to do. It was just, I could never, if my friends were like, they were going out, I couldn't ever say, yeah, I'll go. So I never knew what time I was going to finish.
If you had money though, you'd be loaded now, wouldn't you?
No.
Oh, yeah, fuck it then. You did the right thing.
1995. I was probably on... I was on 17 grand when I first started working in London.
That's a lot.
That was a lot. That was a lot compared to my mates at the time. But I remember thinking I wouldn't take a job for money. I'd only take a job for something I wanted to do. And then I got offered 17 grand. I was like, yep.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Look, I was talking to someone about comedy and how you don't earn as much as people might. Somebody runs a company.
Were you talking to Samuel Coughlin White about
it? No, I wasn't. I was talking to somebody who's got their own business. Construction, someone. And they're quite shocked at what you earn, like in terms of like someone that earns like thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds a month is quite shocked that a comedian earns hundreds of pounds a week, you know, not massive of money. But then I was thinking about it, I was going, yeah, but if I had a job like comparable wages at your 17 grand job now would probably be like 35 or something, I don't know. So say if I had a 100 grand job, so I could earn 50 grand doing comedy, right? Or 100 grand running my own company, I would probably pay 50 to do the comedy. That's the truth.
No,
so it's like, you might as well just do it. And the truth is, after the pandemic and having to do real work, I do love the comedy. I love doing it. And I want to do it more. And I want to do better gigs. And I want to make more money. And I want to just be better at it. And it's quite icky for me to admit that. But it's the truth. And it's only because...
Well, it's always been there.
The thing is, it doesn't happen overnight. You never get to enjoy it, do you? It's not like you're a flat roofer one day and then the next weekend you're like fucking closing weekend clubs for the same money. It's like you have to do the open mics alongside and then you're scratching around doing 40 quid gigs and then it's all a nightmare and a pain in the ass and you're gigging with twats and you've got to drive to here. And then you're doing it for a living. But because it was such a long, drawn-out process... Such a sort of like shallow curve up, you don't notice you're ascending.
And then
I've gone straight back to working, and now lockdown's ending, it's like I'm busier than ever. And I've actually got that sort of like jump cut from one to the other. And I'm like, I'm never moaning about certain people again. I'm never moaning about night closures on the motorway that add 30 minutes to my journey. I'm never moaning about having to go to fucking Bristol and that there's stags and hens in. I love it. I just want to do more of it. And it's a new me.
I totally and utterly agree. My biggest regrets are that some of the best things I've done, they seem like now they may never come back. And I was like, I think to myself, I wish I'd really spent some time.
Yeah, it's like a second. It's like someone that gets a terminal illness and then survives. And they go, it's a new lease on life. And I think, shut up, you fucking hack, fucking cunt. But then, right, I feel I've got a new lease on comedy because I thought it was never coming back. In my darkest hours, Ash, I thought it was never coming back.
Yeah, I've got to sort of reposition my brain like that, really, because I had it...
No, Jesse Pell, you're always ahead of you. Remember, this is your words. I'm not being an ego, man. That I'm always just seeing that little bit ahead of you in, like, six revelations. Months. Yeah, in six months, you'll go, fucking hell, you nailed it again.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's always been the case. Even when you were, like, dead for a year, I didn't
then you nearly died.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, God. What happened to me?
You, fat. I bet you're not so fat now, are you?
No, I'm stoned down.
Because
every time I eat, I feel like I'm going to throw up. So I've decided the best way
to eat some animals, mate. You know that I used to be a vegetarian. You know this, don't you? I've told you.
Of course I know, and you will again.
But I did some ayahuasca. And the cosmic, I did.
No,
I did. And when I lived in London, I went to a shaman's house in Hampstead.
Hold on, I don't know if this is true.
Is true. I went to a shaman's house in Hampstead and did an ayahuasca ceremony.
Right. Okay. I don't know if this is true. And I know you're saying
true.
To be true. So,
and the cosmic goddess. I've told you this. I thought this was one of the first things.
You've never told me this.
I went to a shaman in Hampstead.
Which is mad, isn't it? Just in his house.
Yeah, it was like, and he wasn't a shaman.
He just had some drugs.
I rang the bell. There was like five of us there and none of us knew each other. And I thought, this cunt's got shoes on, he's a fraud. That was the first thing I remember thinking. And he come out and he was barefoot. I was like, oh no, this is legit. This shit.
Did you go out his back garden?
No, it was winter. Sat in a flat.
And that's not a shaman though, is it?
I don't know the definition of a shaman.
Or a shaman. Yeah, well, I need it to be...
He very much said, hi, I'm... What was his name? I can't remember his name.
Shaman Steve.
It was something like that. No, is that he gave himself a name like fucking...
He just knew how to make
Tekicha. He called him. He was white. Little, bald in white hair, ponytail at the bottom. I'm Tekicha, your shaman.
We are going to be imbibing the sacred root of the ayahuasca.
Do you reckon it really was ayahuasca, or do you reckon it was just some E?
No, I think it wasn't ayahuasca at all. It was the other one. It might have been DMT. I can't remember what it was, but I went there because I was having some dark thoughts then.
Yeah.
And I was a vegetarian then. And this woman came to me in my vision.
Tell me about it. I can't believe you're doing this at 50 minutes into the podcast. We've never discussed it. I'm really interested to know about this.
I made it up. I made it all up. Sorry. It's not, I was joking.
What?
Yeah, I never did that.
None of it?
Nope. Never a veggie either. I was going to wind you up, but now I feel guilty because you got all excited about it.
I am excited.
So anyway, he goes, my name's Takichi the Charmer.
But this didn't happen.
It did.
Which bit did?
All of it. This is the truth. So I was a vegetarian. Right. And I got beat up. But I told you, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when I came out of a coma, mini coma.
In a coma.
Well, okay. I was very depressed when I came out of hospital then. Let's put it that way. Which I think is quite standard for severe head trauma. I mean, yeah. I had my head, the two people kicked me in the head like 40 times.
Yeah. Because they've met you.
Yeah. They ran out of steam. There's anything that stopped them, I think. Good job that creatine wasn't a thing back then. They'd have been fucking dead. They got lactic acid build up in their quads and had to stop. It's an endurance. I'm so fucking boneheaded. It's like an endurance event beating me up. It's like a marathon. So who's going to drop out first? So I went to this Takichi, the shaman in Hampstead. And anyway, I took this and he was behind me, goes, I'm here. And as I fell backwards, he put this sort of like floor cushion thing and caught that sort of like thing in drama.
You fell backwards?
I was sitting down cross-legged. But I fell backwards. And this woman came to me and she was covered in vines and leaves, like exotic leaves.
Is this true?
The weird thing about it is there was visions that I haven't seen. I don't know where they came from. Like she had these leaves on her.
Yeah.
But they weren't leaves that I'd seen. They were like leaves I've never seen. Do you know what I mean? They weren't like things from my past, things like I'd cobbled together.
I know what you're saying, yeah.
And she had these eyes that were like had orange outlines. And our eyes were black, but they had these glowing orange around the eyelids. And they were bigger than normal eyes. She looked a bit like an alien, I guess. Couldn't really make her features out, but they sort of were moving around liquidy. They would like.
Did it have a similar voice to the shaman?
She said,
I am the queen of your cosmic.
She spoke
what
like
did
that.
She say?
No, she said, she didn't say anything, but she was thinking it and I could hear what she was thinking. It was my voice. It was no voice. It was like, if you think I'm hungry, you don't actually say in your head, oh, I'm hungry. You just sort of have this. That's why your head is so big. It can fit all them hungry thoughts in it.
Yeah.
And she was, and it was like, you have to start eating animals. That you are. It is the way the universe works. You are opting out of this flow. And it was like I was morally abhorrent to her for not entering into this food chain that was meant, this how it was meant to be. And I started eating meat again.
Because a vine bitch told you to.
Yeah. But the thing is, Ash, if I'd have said, think about this. If I'd have said that exact anecdote, but the experience was she told me, you know, and I came out a vegan, people go, that was like, if I'd have said, oh, it's really abhorrent to eat animals, I'm going to become a vegan, everyone would have gone like, yeah, that's really deep.
It does seem that Mother Earth is more likely to have told you to be vegan. You know what I mean?
But then again, it doesn't, because we've evolved into this food chain and I think we're opting out of it. She was very unhappy about it. That's what I'm gonna say.
Did she seem to be any kind of? Was she part of Waitrose? Did she seem like she had a vested interest?
I think the shaman actually owned the butchers and Hampstead, yeah. And he was whispering in my ear. We've got 50% off beef mince this week.
What else happened?
I just woke up and my dilly was a bit. My go dilly on, was what? Out. It was out. My dilly was out.
So that was it.
He had these bells and he just kept going ching 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 like a tambourine.
Well, what else did you experience?
And he was wafting like a little bundle of sticks around.
Yeah.
Like a witch's broom.
But he didn't have any other revelations.
Yeah, I did have a few that...
I've heard it can be deeply unpleasant.
Oh, it's awful. Imagine, like, you know the things that you might put into a vault because you don't want to deal with them? You go to the vault, you blow the vault open with dynamite and you stick all those things under a microscope. Then you have your eyes pinned open like Alex from Clockwork Orange and are forced to look at it for 6 hours and you vomit.
Yeah,
but apart from that, it was a very fun experience. But I got back on the old animal products as a result.
And all the other stuff got fixed as well, didn't it?
Now, the other stuff, I think that, again...
Did it say? Did she say, drink these troubles away?
What she said was... And she didn't say it, but why...
It's abhorrent that you're not drinking more.
Yeah, yeah. You need to eat animals. Go out and drink and beat someone up to make up for you getting beat up. Go out and beat someone up. That'll get it. Like you got beat up. That's how you do it.
She should have said that.
That would have been good advice. But no, I came out of it somehow knowing that nobody can be fixed. And it's about living with the idiosyncrasies rather than worrying about how you can eradicate them. There is no fixing. You do not want to glue the arms back onto Michelangelo's David.
I do.
Yeah, I know. I think we spend our whole lives looking for the arms to glue them back on. And then the day we die on our deathbed, we just go, oh, fuck, we should have just enjoyed it with no arms.
Yeah.
That was we should have just done that.
So you're saying, so what's eat that got meat. To do with... isn't That's it not saying. Eating meat, though?
No, you've got to eat meat.
I don't. You're not a viney woman. I can't. I'm not going
to
take.
Yeah, but I'm just passing on what she said to me. I'm the messenger. She's the messenger. Me? You are.
Did she mention me?
You don't know what morals are. We don't know how the universe works. I mean, no, if there is a such, no. You might be the immoral one. We don't know.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you can only answer to yourself. This is my big thing.
Well, or the vine woman. She's out there. I don't think I imagined her. I think she's sort of real, mate. Because the weird thing about it is, have you heard about the machine elves?
The machine elves?
Yeah, people that do ayahuasca all see these exact same elves, these little machine elves, mechanical elves.
Right.
And everyone sees them.
Did you see them?
No, I didn't. But I'm a bit weird, maybe.
I love that.
I mean, if I'd have said yes, I'd have backed up what I said. Wouldn't
yeah,
it?
But you can't do it.
I didn't see him. No.
That's your big problem, really.
I think that might have come out as a result of this ceremony.
Big problem is you can't lie.
Not can't lie, but it's okay to not... It's okay to say something and then... what do you call it? You know, can't fucking think of the word. Counter. You know what I mean? What's the word that everyone says? Contradict. It's okay to say something and then on question just go, oh, yeah, that's bollocks, isn't it?
Did she mention anything about podcasting?
She said one day. No. She said, I think, but maybe I've just been sent here to get you to eat meat from her. This could all be arranged.
How soon after the ayahuasca did you have meat?
Oh, the way home, I got a cheeseburger.
How long had you been vegetarian?
It wasn't long. It wasn't long. But it was
basically
from, it was
you
from,
took some drugs
from,
and you got the munchies and you went and got a hamburger.
Yeah, I'd had a bowl of cornflakes that morning instead of a bacon roll. So I was like, fuck, she said, go eat some meat. No, it was when I was in hospital. I had some issues with digesting meat, so I couldn't eat it for about 2 weeks.
So,
but then she said, you got to get back on the meat, bruv. That's the first thing she said, adamant. That was her big message.
Adamant.
Yeah, she was like, you've got to get back on them animals. It does not suit you. I think she... Oh, God, I am wrong. I think she said it doesn't suit you. I don't think it was a cosmic human thing. Yeah, me specifically.
Oh, wow.
She said, you've got to eat meat. But then again, she did say I was insulting her. She'd laid it all out. So she'd set everything out. It's like she'd set everything out, like all this, the plants that grow and the animals eat the plants and we eat the animals and we do the shit and the shit feeds the plants and it's all. And she was going, you're insulting me by not partaking in this. I've done all this for you. She might have meant humankind. But like I said, it's hard when someone doesn't actually speak. Let me say, the problem is when you're telepathically communicating with a forest sprite, it's very hard to hanker down on the details. There's no stenographer recording everything.
Could you not have spoken to
Charlie? If I put a dictaphone on it, it'd be me going, and Takichi's mopping my brow with a fetid flannel. But yeah, that was my ayahuasca experience.
He'd have been furious. Like, I don't know him.
Yeah, I didn't tell. Do you know what? Fuck me. That is so. You've actually bang hit the nail on the head. When we sort of come around different times, and I felt so guilty. Because you could just see they were all like veggie people. They had those bags made out of like Peruvian tea towels with tassels on and stuff. And I was just like, oh, and he goes, anything specific? And I went, no, I might have to come back, but it was interesting. That's what I said.
He said, oh, yeah, he's told me to murder.
yeah, get back into the...
She told me to go up and do a big shit and not flush it in your toilet.
It's the sort of feeling I got is the animals are in on it. That's what I got. They're not victims in it. It's just how it is. I can't explain it.
You have explained it.
I don't know if I explained it well.
Well, you explained it as well as you can with the magic.
Are you going to eat me?
Am I?
Well, are you going to eat me? But I haven't explained it well, have I?
Because a tree sprite told you to. I'm not going to.
She weren't a tree. I think she was Mother Earth. I'm going to say she was Mother Earth. That's who she was. But she wasn't. She wasn't scary or nice. She was just.
Did she have the face of a celebrity?
No, she had a pointy chin, and it was shaped like a guitar pick. Her head was shaped like a guitar pick.
Was it you?
It could have been me or Takichi. It was probably Takichi's nutsack, probably teabagging me in front of everyone. We've got another one, guys. Look at him. They're all like around taking pictures.
Wow, this is exciting. Genuinely a great story. I want to find out more.
Well, you need to take some ayahuasca.
Let's do it. Let's do it together for the podcast.
I'm game. Although, I tell you what, that was full disclosure. What were we in 2021? Fuck, that was 20 years ago. Nearly 21 years ago. And that's about, I'm only now thinking, yeah, maybe I'd do it again. It took 20 years to sort of like forget how awful it was, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I have heard it's awful.
It depends what you got in your closet. That's the thing. It depends what's in your closet.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think I've got anything, so that's what
scares me. Oh, you might think that now, mate. She'll soon pull it out, mate. She's pretty thorough.
That is the problem, isn't it?
Mm.
Okay. Well, thanks, listener. Thanks, Justin. We'll be back again. If you're a Patreon, you'll get the bonus video and audio for January soon. When are we recording them? This weekend?
Yeah. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow we're going to record them, and then you'll have new ones for February. So get on if you want to over on patreon.com/pranks or pranks and firth. You'll find us and you get loads of bonus stuff over there. That's about it, isn't it?
Yeah, bye. No.
Where can people see you when you're doing stand up?
I'm closing. Oh, this is going out today.
Tonight,
I'm closing for the Comedy Club Limited in Northampton. Tomorrow, I am opening a great bill in Newmarket with Sean Walsh headlining. Ooh. Next week, let me open my door. So the back of the door is my wall planner. I never
knew. Me and you together one day next week.
Oh, next week? Oh, that must be the Friday and Saturday. I haven't got it written where I am, but you say where you are then. So I'm doing two gigs for Jason Friday and Saturday.
We're in Willingham, I think, on Friday, which is Cambridge Way.
Yeah, and Saturday, you're not there, are you?
I don't think so.
I'm somewhere for big... Just go on Big Deals Instagram, Big Deal Comedy, find out where I am.
And we're both going to be doing lots for them, so that's nice, isn't it?
And then the weekend after that, I'm in Edinburgh on the 24th of February for those north of the border. If you want to come and watch me performing in Hayton Live in Edinburgh on the Thursday, and then the Friday, Saturday following that, I will be in London emceeing a weekend at the Backyard. Or opening, nice. I remember. Yes.
Nice.
So that's a good Thursday, Friday, Saturday as well.
I feel like we should have somewhere to put our gigs up, but...
Yeah, they're here.
I mean, for the listener.
The listeners are listening. That's why they're called that.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
All right. Well...
Didn't even get to talk about my pegs. Save the pegs for the next one. I've got a peg anecdote. I've been and bought pegs.
And because you put your
I've had my wash on the washing line today, and I've got a peg story.
My God, it's exciting. Mm. Well, we can hear about that on Monday, listener, or maybe in the Patreon bonus exclusive.
Mm. Yes.
we treat them. Okay, speak to you later.
You must eat meat. Animals are here for you, Ash. You are an animal. You must eat hamburgers.
I didn't say anything, bye.